It would be good if you would pray for me. I'd like to look into a familiar verse in Proverbs 4 and 23. This has been the subject of many a preacher's burdens over the years. I've used it many times myself. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I don't think that it's possible to underestimate the importance of this scripture. First of all, it's emphatic in its statement to keep thy heart. It says with all, and however you would put a definition on that, it says to keep your heart with all diligence. It puts a great importance on the capacity of what our heart is, and it tells you why. Because there's causes and effects in life, and that's why. And what you put your heart onto, you're going to respond to that in life. And all, it says that for all of it are the issues of life. And what you determine, what I determine and do today, and what I allow in my heart, can very well affect all my future. You ever think of that? The decisions I make through the passions of my heart today can be long-lasting and can be generational. They can be, affect my children's children, the things that I do and the things that I take. And this says to keep your heart, your affections, keep the, there's going to be a lot of things happen in life and those kind of things. And we have to respond to that. But how are we going to respond to it? And the scripture says, with all your diligence that you got. Another thing that we can draw from it is that the Lord is putting the responsibility. I know He helps us in everything, but before we can accomplish nothing without Him. But this is squarely putting the responsibility of taking the steps and being diligent towards your, diligence may be that I pray for God to help me with it, but it's my responsibility to take care of my heart. Linda read a little thing the other day, and I questioned her about it today. She read a little thing that said something about an emotion lasts for 90 seconds if you don't feed it. If you don't add thoughts to it, an emotion lasts for 90 seconds. And I can't prove or disprove that. I'm just saying it's an interesting idea to think that I can have the emotion of anger, and if I leave it alone, it'll go away in 90 seconds. But it does bring out the idea that, and we all understand this, if you're here of any age and you fought any battles, you understand that the battle is usually between my fingers. I mean, the battle is usually about these things is in our minds. And when something happens like that, many, many times we play out the scenarios in our mind and we feed those kind of things. And if we're not careful, we'll allow our hearts to be affected by some of these things. Because things happen, right, in life. I like to garden. So every year I'm excited about new techniques of gardening, and I plant new things. And I've been some successful with some things and not successful with other things. And one of the things that I've had trouble with over the years is that I don't do well with cucumbers. And my wife was thinking about making pickles, and I said, I'm going to raise you some cucumbers this year. And I remember one year my sister, she lives out in Granby area, out in the ocean, not far from a campground, actually, Monarch. And she planted a few cucumber hills, and we literally was hauling cucumbers off in wheelbarrows and pouring them over. Big old oil. I mean, she had all she could use and give away and everything else, and it was rotten, and there was big bunches of them, and I was like, raise them. Well, this year I had some new ideas about raising some cucumbers, and I got them. Prettiest plants I ever had. They come up, And they were so pretty. The leaves were so big and green. And I was so excited. Hey, this is going to work this year. And I went out there the other day. And as I went through the gate in the morning and looked, the first thing I did was look towards my cucumbers. And a groundhog had eat them off. And that things happen in life. But my feelings at that time. And I don't know the 90 seconds I might have fed this. But the emotions, what, disappointment, anger, the things, I mean, a groundhog? But I had these feelings, and I told Brother Carlos the other day, I said, you know, extermination was just a mild thought to me. I was actually thinking about torture. I was actually thinking about, if I catch you, you're going to suffer some harm from this. The passions and things that we have are real in life. We're human and we see things and deal with things and those kind of things. And I'm happy to report my son said yesterday that he killed the groundhog. And I'm like, yes. He didn't suffer. He just shot him. But that's the way I felt about it. This says to guard your heart. Because we're human and these things are real. They're real and they can affect the way you do things and what you do. And so guard with all diligence. I mean, this is emphatic to say, you really better listen to this today. You really better not let that seed of bitterness in your heart. You better not be unforgiving. You better not let this go on, because if you do, out of it will come the issues of life. And these things can be harbored in our hearts until families are so dysfunctional and stuff, and we say, how did we get there? I don't even know why. I'll tell you why. Because out of the heart's the issues of life. And that little twist of the knife they give, or that little hurt that you still exhibit, or that little, it shows a coldness or an indifference about things sometimes that I don't care, an indifference, and you don't even realize what you're planting and what you're doing. Because out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life come out of this, and somebody can say something, and I feel perfectly justified by what they try. I know they said that purposely to hurt me, because there was no way to phrase that any other way than to humiliate me or to bring me down. And I feel perfectly justified into feeling something about that. But the scripture says it something different. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. Is that what you want your heart to be? But it will be effect. It will have effect. All of it are the issues of life. So I want to explore a little bit today in my hearts and minds, because we do go through things. I run onto a phrase that stuck with me that said, it's not what happens to us, it's what happens in us. In any incident or anything that we go through, it's really not what happens to us, it's what happens in us. That's what really makes the difference, because we're taught of the Lord to imitate Him and to look to Him into the difficulties and the problems of life. We're looking to say, like, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the shame, the cross. He endured to do that, and we're encouraged to do that too, not to faint, not to fail in this, but to go through it the way He did it. And but you know, there is a whole history of men in the Bible that had things happen to them that did not allow it to happen in them. And it was the victory of the great patriarchs, because things happened, but they didn't allow it to affect their walk with the Lord. They kept their heart. One of my favorite characters in the Bible, as far as admiration goes, was Job. Of the time period and the place that he was a remarkable man, to my mind. He was a man that God blessed, had a hedge around him, if you will, and everything that his hand touched, it blessed, or at least that was the thing that was said about him. He prospers in everything. You've got a hedge around him, and he prospers in everything that he does. But you know, that you have to keep your heart in that too. Because there's victory in this life for prosperity too. You know that prosperity can affect us too. I mean, riches can affect us too. You can get your heart put on those things too. You can think that you're important because of them. You can allow these things to affect you too. But Job didn't seem to allow the things that happened with him in life, the prosperity and all that. So that when the things happened, that started happening to Job, instead of Job, they happened to him. But it didn't happen in him. It didn't change him. He kept on making sacrifices to the Lord. He stayed faithful through all of that. He didn't seem to raise up. You don't get the idea that Job was an arrogant or a pompous person. He didn't seem like he was a proud man. He was humbled. He humbled himself before the Lord, and he seemed like he wanted to do right, and he made his sacrifices, and yet this came upon him. But it wasn't what happened to him. It was what happened in him. The devil wasn't just doing what he'd done to him. He wanted it to do it in him. He said, if I do this to him, it'll do it in him. But Job didn't allow what happened to him to do it in him. Now this is what the devil's going to try to do to every one of us here. He's going to allow somebody that's in, I can say it a lot of ways. They can mistakenly say something. They can inadvertently say something about you. They can inadvertently do something. They can be a little selfish at a moment. They can do all these things. Or they can do it on purpose. And there's times people just don't like you. Why somebody don't like me, I don't know. Altogether, but it happens more than you think. Where people don't like me. And I'm like, why would they not do that? But it happens. But the key is not it's not just about what happens to you. It's whether you let it happen in you. We know the story of Job. Job ended up having these things happen. We know why, and they started happening to him, and those that was around him started saying to him, what's happening to you should happen in you. Basically, they were saying, why is it this? Obviously, but Job didn't allow that to that. And his wife even said, curse God and die. You've obviously been displeasing to the Lord. You curse God and die. And Job says you speak like a foolish woman. God gave. God giveth and God taketh away. I didn't have any of this or any right to any of it. God gave me all of it. And if he's got a right to give it, he's got a right to take it away. And what happened to him didn't happen in him. And he still believed in God. And he knew God was real. And it blessed him. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't let this happen to my heart, in your heart. Was there any indication that Job cursed his wife or said, I'm done with you, or anything like that? Could have. She wasn't being very supportive. I mean, as a supportive wife, she wasn't doing good. And I mean, it could have been a grounds for a lot of things, but Job, don't let it happen in you. It's happening to you, but don't let it happen in you. This is the victory that we can have. Keep your heart with all diligence. Don't allow the things of the exteriors to be the things that happens interior. Don't allow that to be that way. That's what the devil's trying to do. We fight the devil sometimes. We used to have a problem up in our, I remember yard, we had locust trees along the top of our yard, and we would mow the yard around, and some of it had to be not mowed with a mower, but we would wait so long, maybe mow the side or whatever. But it had a tendency to, especially if you cut one of those trees down, it had a tendency, 100 would come up. And they had come up and they'd come up because there was roots in there. And I remember going up there and swatting at them trees. I used to play sword fighting, and I was a boy. I'd go up there and get me a stick, and I'd whack at them things and cut them and knock them down with the stick and sword fight them and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I only made them grow better. You can't kill them things by knocking the leaves off of them. It just more leaves grow and all into that. And that's the way we sometimes we deal with things in our life. We deal with the exteriors. We deal with the things that's seen and what's happening. When it's the root that matters. The devil's bringing situations into your life to get to the inside. Because what the devil knows is that if you don't keep your heart with all diligence, out of it are the issues of life, and he can tear up families, marriages, he can tear up congregations, he can tear up a lot of stuff if we don't keep our heart with all diligence. Actually, if you really want to get down to all of the problems that is, somebody didn't keep their heart. Keeping your heart is saying that there's an almighty God in charge. And he didn't even have to allow this temptation to come my way. And yet here I am. And so he's God. And here's my temptation. Let me be faithful to God in my heart. Help me to love those that don't love me. Because if I allow them to affect me though I don't love them, then the devil wins. And he's accomplished what he tried to do. At the end, Job had some murmuring type thing. He dealt with some things in his life, but he ended up saying, I come forth as pure gold. The things that happened to me in life, it happened to me, but I didn't let it happen in me. And at the end, I was better off than I was at the beginning of it, because God has helped me to go through this. But he wasn't the only one that faced those kind of things. Many of the people in the Bible faced it, and one of the best ones that faced it was Joseph. Joseph was created. And he wasn't asked beforehand how to create him. He didn't say, Lord, would you help me to interpret dreams? You know, I'd like to be a young man that took dreams, and boy, I'd be something. Joseph was made of the Lord and called for a time and purpose that God had for him. But he had to go through some things. And things happened to him. I don't know if he had anything into it or not. Everything isn't written. But it wasn't his fault that he was the son of his father's favorite wife. How did he do that? He didn't dictate anything. He's just Joseph. He was born to a mother. I didn't choose who my mother was. I was just born. And so was he. And he didn't choose how his father treated him either. He didn't choose any of that. Didn't even say that he begged for a coat of many colors. None of that stuff. This is what happened to him in life. And now you're going to have to face some things in life. Circumstances are going to happen. And you remember he went out and he said some things at times, interpreting dreams and stuff that had them fired up. But that God did that. It wasn't, I'm telling you, them brothers didn't keep their heart. They didn't keep their heart, and they got into mischief and they done bad things. But God used those things, and Joseph ends up, if you remember, they took him and I think they was going to kill him, but the oldest one, Reuben, says, no. And they had him in this well. They threw him down in a well, keep him down there. And then they sold him off to slavery. They took the coat of many colors and ripped it up, put goat's blood on it, took it back to their dad and said, oh, our brother Joseph's been eaten by a lion, or a wild beast has got him. And, oh, then Jacob, he's crying, and my son, and all. You know, the whole scene of that, and that's all bad. And there was probably 24 reasons to make me think I'm justified to do something against them guys. Look at all they done, the heartache they brought dad, what they did to me. I mean, just a shame on the family, shame on them. But the biggest harm is if I let that affect me. If I don't keep my heart. So maybe in all of our lives, maybe like of Joseph, in the idea of keeping my heart, maybe I can say, as David said, perhaps God hath said, curse David. Perhaps this is part of my experience with God Maybe I'm supposed to go through this. Maybe there is something at the end of this that God has an expectation for my life. And so, yeah, I'm in a situation now to where people's not treating me right or whatever, but perhaps there's some victory in that. Perhaps their salvation is looming. Perhaps I'm supposed to be something in this. Keep your heart with all diligence. It's what God says to us in the circumstances He's going to put us in. Keep your heart. Now, I'm going to let you go through this, but keep your heart. It'll happen to you. But don't let it happen in you. And so they took Joseph and sold him down to slavery, and that would be okay. And, you know, he was reported, at least historically, that he was a good-looking young man, and he was very educated and smart. He was a smart person, and so he rose to prominence pretty quickly in being able to organize and do things. And so he pretty quickly was sold to Potiphar, and Potiphar pretty quickly saw the advantage that he had with this young man, and he put him in roles of prominence, and he's a man there, but he's good looking and he's young. And then another person treats him badly, makes some bad accusations by their own lust and problems. They have problems, and they cast it all on him. What an injustice. And how much you wait till I get up there to be somebody. No, this happened to you. Don't let it happen in you. Keep your heart with all diligence. Don't become like they are. God does not want you to respond to evil with evil. He doesn't want you to reply back with words when there's words. He doesn't want that. Jesus reviled not. He did not do it. And He teaches us the same thing. Jesus kept His heart. Jesus was Jesus all the time. Jesus loved people, and He still loved people. Jesus went to the cross, and He was that way. He did not, their hatred, their malice, their, and all the things that they had against Him, He did not allow them to affect Him inside Him. He could have, but He didn't. Well, we know the story of Joseph, right? Joseph ends up, through the providence of God, he ends up in prison. It goes from bad to worse. He ends up in prison. And at the same time, he could have hated everybody on his trail behind him. He could have been a bitter man. Our world's full of bitter people.
Yes, it's true.
Hatred people. The whole Middle East is aflame all the time because of what's inside people and what they do. I saw a deal wondering about how people get to the way they do. And I'll finish the story of Joseph. But I saw this thing a few years ago, of these guys were out on the West Coast, and it was a nighttime scene, and they had their fishing poles set up in the rocks, and they was fishing out into the ocean, the big Pacific Ocean. And there come this young woman up there, just a screaming and a railing and a just putting on an awful show of hatred. She was grabbing their poles and slamming them and this and that, and she's screaming, "You're destroying my ocean. You're destroying my ocean." And she's teasing, "You're killing the fish." And God, this is, she was around this. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I don't know where she got her information. I don't know where she got her passion. I don't know where she got her stuff. But that's what she ended up being, because that's out of it are the issues of life. How long are you going to see such injustices done to these fish? That seems, because people have been fishing ever since there's been people, it kind of seems, we eat fish and we do that, and it seems fairly logical and practical that we do it. Where did she get this from? She didn't keep her heart. Somewhere along the line, the heart got very inflamed with these passions and these things, and people do it and with all kinds of things. We see it in the rioting. We see it in this. Why are these people so inflamed? Why are they doing that? And because they believe something, and they've stored it in their hearts, and now the only thing I can do is fight for what I believe. And sometimes it gets down that I'm willing to kill. The way I felt about the groundhog is the way they feel about us. And not only we want you to die, we want you to suffer dying. You don't have a right to live. Lord, help us in our hearts. There was a story a few years ago about a man named Michael Vick. I remember Michael Vick was a Oh, I think he was up in our area somewhere in Virginia or something. He was a college football player, went on to be a very famous pro football player, and he got in trouble for dog fighting. They was fighting dogs, and these dogs are pretty rough dogs, and they chew each other up, and there were some pretty bad pictures about it. It's also very illegal to do that, and he was doing it, and so he got caught doing it. At the same time, there was another man in the NFL there was a video clip of him beating his wife. I mean, he put it on her too. He smacked her. He smacked her down. Grabbed her by the hair, slung her around. I mean, it was a video of him doing it. Well, he both was in trouble, right, for it. And I remember hearing an interviews with people that said, "Do you think you should forgive this man for beating his wife and doing all that?" And said, "Yes, should forgive him. He needs another chance. I mean, he can be rehabilitated, and the NFL ought to allow him as a young man to be rehabilitated and play football." Then they asked about Michael Vick. No way. That man needs to suffer. That man needs the same thing happen to him that happened to them dogs. Because dogs are more important than a man's wife, a person, a human. I don't know how people got there, but they got there through a process, and there's where their heart's at. Their heart is more on the dogs than they are the people. And that's a common thing in our society. I don't think you ought to be abusive to animals. I think it's a bad sign of your heart if you can let anything suffer or make it suffer. It would be terrible to do that. But to say that it's more important than people? Where did we get to that kind of thinking? But we're there. Even where I live, as remote as you can get, that kind of thinking is prominent. It's more and stronger and all the time. Keep your heart with all diligence, but for all of it are the issues of life. You're going to respond. Our society is responding. You're going to respond. But in the story of Joseph, through the hand of God, was raised up as God intended. All along, he intended to take Joseph down there and raise him up in prominence, and he did. And he raised him up second to Pharaoh. Now he's honored above all the nation of Egypt. He can say and do what he wants. And he's in that, still in that place God had put him as an administrator. He was smart. He was able to do it. And he done it. And lo and behold, as the plan of God was, here comes the very brothers that threw him in a well, that done the whole thing with the coat, that done all this to him, heartache with daddy, all of this down there, caused him to be the one that had to be down there with Potiphar's wife, the one that caused him to be in jail, the one that was put through all of that, and then what did Joseph do? It happened to him, but it didn't happen in him. He said to them, "You intended it for evil, but God intended it for good." Didn't he end up embracing them, crying on them? What is this guy? He crying on them, my brothers. Because he didn't let it happen in him. How many brothers are estranged? How many brothers and sisters? How many families are estranged? Why? Because it happened in them. That's why. Because something happened in them. Don't let it happen in you.
That's right.
And he's not the only one. But Daniel was a man that was connected with God. And he had things happen to him. But they didn't happen in him. They just happened to him.
Yes.
He kept his heart with all diligence. He kept it in the Lord. And so they come and told him one time, "You can't pray to anybody but God, or I know what I'm going to do." But they come and said, "You can't pray to anybody but the king petitions to God or man 30 days, whatever the thing." And it said that he went to his room and he opened the windows like he did before. And he prayed just like he always did. "Daniel, what's the matter with you?" "God's able." That's what's the matter with me. Got my heart on God. "God's able. I can take the consequences, but I can't take not praying. I can take the consequences of life, but I got to pray and I got to do what the Lord wants me to do. So I went and done it like always did. And they, of course, they had a plan for him, and they got and caught him before that. And it was the king's decree. And how do you, it's no decree's worth anything if you don't do it. And so he had to do it. And no, but throw him into the lion's den. This righteous, this holy, this good man, throw him into the lion's den because somebody's heart was playing off of the issues of life. The issues of life was playing. They allowed, folks, this is a lesson to us too. They allowed the blessings of God on Daniel. It wasn't Daniel's making. The blessings of God on Daniel caused them to be jealous. That's the simple bottom of it. Well, I have to say this, Brother Ivan. I hope the Lord blesses you real good. And if there was ever an inkling of a thought that there was anything that he could preach better than me, I say I hope he can. I hope everybody can. Because I'm in tune with the cause. I want the cause is what I'm after. I'm not after the personal thing. I want the cause. It's the cause that's important. Lord, help me to keep my heart. But there can be jealousies. Sure there can. There can be things they need to be taken with. I'll tell this because I tell Brother Jim's story, so I'm going to tell this one too. I didn't take it as negative at all. But Brother Jim White came to me one day, and he was a mentor of mine and highly respected by me, and he came, I need to talk to you. And he was wanting to make sure that everything was right in his life. And he came to me and he said, Brother Marty, I need to talk to you. All right? I need you to forgive me. And I, Brother Jim, I nothing to forgive you. Yeah, you do. Said, I've been envious about the Lord's blessings on you. You know what? It may give me more admiration than ever for him because he was willing to do it because he was keeping his heart with all diligence. I had some things that was creeping in there and I'm going to take care of those things. Is what he was saying. I'm going to keep my heart for all of it's the issues of life. Where could that have grown in our relationship? I wouldn't even know what the root of it was. Keep your heart with all diligence. Don't allow envy in your life. Put your blessing on them. Audibly if you have to. Do it openly. Lord bless them real good. Keep your heart with all diligence. So out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life will come out of it. So they throw Daniel. Daniel could have said, I've been around this kingdom ever since Nebuchadnezzar. Right? I mean, I've been here all this time. And Darius, you're the worst king. I went down through a line of these, and you're the worst. You fell for that? I mean, you, come on. Get a little discernment. You ever hear that? Get a little understanding. God allowed this. And they threw him into the den of lions. I don't know, did Daniel have an expectation that God was going to spare him? Or did God say he was going to spare him? Or can faithful people be eaten by lions? Yes, they can. That's exactly, they can. They threw him down there, but that wasn't the end of Daniel. God shut their mouths, and the king, being anxious about the whole thing, comes from memory, comes into, oh, Daniel! Servant of the living God, is your God able to deliver you? And there wasn't this, Darius, you have been such an idiot. He said with honor, O king, live forever. His king, you're my king. God did this. This is no place. He kept his heart. He didn't allow it to affect him, the physical, the fleshly things that we do. How easily we will allow our heart to be affected by things. And all this is emphatic. Keep your heart with all diligence. That means whatever it takes. If you have to go to somebody and say, forgive me, I've been... Do it! Because the consequences of it at the end of it can be more than you could ever imagine. Do you know that one little thing can spiral into the loss of souls in eternity? Your soul! I mean, my soul! If I don't keep my heart with all diligence, I need to keep my heart with all diligence. So we come to the New Testament time. There was a man in the scriptures. You can find him in Acts. I'll just go over it a little bit. His name was Stephen. He was called of the Lord. I know he was called of the Lord because it said he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he said some pretty tough words. I mean, he was not easy. He was full of the Holy Ghost, which makes me know he was talking from the mouth of God to these people. Your fathers were murderers, and you're murderers too. And you murdered the Savior, and he gave him a line, didn't he? And it made them so upset. If they had waited 90 seconds and thought about something else, they may have got by with it, but they didn't. They were inflamed. Their passions were inflamed. Their heart was inflamed because they had something wrong in their heart anyway. They acted upon it. You ever feel like stoning someone? Well, it's not our cultural habit to go around throwing rocks at people we don't like, but we can throw something. You ever feel like, I'll tell on myself. If I get involved in politics very much, I want to pick up stones sometimes at the statements and the things that happens, and it can just get me. And I've been checked by the Lord to say, keep your heart. Yes. Don't allow the passions that you feel, because the things that the devil is doing is geared to get your passion. Yes. To get it in you. Let it happen outside, but don't let it happen in you. Jesus loves that person that I'm thinking about throwing a stone at. The answer in the biblical way, in God's world, is that they find Christ and get saved. And if they don't, they're not going to... You'll also, like, perish. Lord, help us to keep our heart with all diligence. Amen. Stephen preached the message. He could have said, these bunch of ignorant people don't know the truth. God sent fire down on them. Right? They started picking up stones. They started stoning. If you remember, there was one named Saul there that held their garments. You don't think this was in the order of the Lord? This whole thing was in the order of the Lord. And now the stones are flying and they're gnashing their teeth and they're gritting and they're doing this and they're hating and they're despising. And all this hatred. And can you feel the aura almost of reading it? You can feel it. You can feel what it was. Have you ever been any close to that? You can feel that and the hatred that they had and they're dying in them stones. And instead of, he could have picked, hey, I got a good arm. You throw one at me, I can wing one back at you. No, he didn't pick up no stones. He committed it to God. So full of grace. What was happening to him didn't have to happen in him. The hatred that was being pointed at him was shielded off. And he said to the Lord, I think he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. At attention! We got this one. And Stephen said, lay not this to their charge. Oh, it happened to him, but it didn't happen to any. He loved the ones that threw the stones. I'm so glad that's in the scripture, because I've always used that Jesus did that from the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, but yet he was the Son of God. So what about us humans? You know, a man full of the Holy Ghost did the same thing. A man living for God had grace enough for God to love those that persecuted him, was killing him. He was going to die. He knew he was dying. They was going to kill him right there. And he loved them anyway. He guarded his heart. I'm not going to allow hatred in my heart. Not towards a political party. Not towards a movement that I think is so terrible. And there's a lot of them in this world these days. I think it's just terrible. Lord, give me the love of God. Let me guard my heart in all these issues of life. And you know, sometimes where we gotta need to guard it closest is right in the closest relationship. Because to be honest with you, it's hard for the neighbor to do something to touch me very much. But it's pretty easy for the folks in my own house to do it. Or in my own world. The people that I expect I have an expectation that there ought to be respect for me and there ought to be a relationship there. And when there's something that's less than that, I can be, it can be touching. That's a place to guard your heart. That's a place to say, Lord, help me. Help me to be what I ought to be and guard my heart that that does not end up with a feeling. That does not end up with a bitterness. That does not end up with an unforgiveness. And I know that if you're smart enough to do it, you can make all kind of excuses and reasons and justify in your own mind why there isn't a full forgiveness, but it's enough of a forgiveness to get me by with this. That's just being smart. It's not being very biblical. He said, Lord, how many times should you forgive a brother in a day? Seven? You missed the point, brother. You missed the point. How about 70? Yeah, I say to you, yay. 70? Seven? How about 70 times seven? How about we express it in a way you understand it? And this is the way I understand it. Seven being the perfect number. I think he was actually saying to them that you forgive perfectly. And you forgive fully all the time, perfectly. There's no room for nothing else. And it isn't how they're going to walk away feeling. It's about you guarding your heart. It's about you having it right in your heart. You don't walk away there with a cancer in there. Or something that's going to make me act different at the door. Or make me do something different than I do. When the Lord calls for me to do something, I'll do it different because of Him. Lord, help me. It is the issues of life. I have issues of life. And guess what? Issues of life's going to happen. Raise a garden around groundhogs, and I have a fence around my garden, folks. A fence. That groundhog has hundreds of acres of lush vegetation out there. And I can name you all the different kind of plants that's out there. There's all kind of plants groundhogs eat out there. And I got a 60 by 60 fenced-in fence. And them groundhogs will dig under that every time to eat what I got in there. I don't even know how they know it's in there, but they do. They know it's in there. I haven't been able to raise any green beans over the years because the groundhogs know they're in there and they'll do anything to eat them. They'll eat sweet potatoes. They'll do all that. That's an issue of life. It's an issue. It's going to happen. Things happen. How do I deal with that? I'll be honest with you. I didn't like the feeling I had even about a groundhog. I didn't like the feeling. It's not a good one. And you know, from time to time, you may get pulled over by a police officer that's a little smart. I remember leaving out here one day, and I was speeding. So he pulled me over. And I ended up telling him, I said, well, you know, you're the nicest fella that ever... cost me money. I mean, he was a nice fella. Sometimes you get nice ones, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you do that. You'll get pulled over when you ain't guilty sometimes. Sometimes there's injustices. So if something's done unjustly, then I have a right to have something bad. I can think, right? Bad about it, right? I mean, no! Keep your heart with all diligence. Honor those that are over us anyway. No matter who the president is, we're supposed to show honor. They're put in that position. Who made them? Who allowed them to be there? Who put them there? In our world, God did. You say, well, I don't know about that last. Well, it's your political leanings, but you still got to accept it from the Lord. Lord, help me to be what I'm supposed to be through good and bad, through sunshine and rain. Help me to guard my heart about what's said, what's done, and help me to be able to win. Amen. To win. The people that are around, the people that are that way, to help me to win them. And I'll say this in my life, it's been the Lord. But the times that I've had contrary people in my life, and I prayed, Lord, help me to be what I should be and be able, God's helped me to win them, to respect and to honor. And so God is in this picture. It's about God. Let's keep our hearts. Lest out of the issues of life, we make a big mess. You pray for me.